السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رسول رسائل درود شريف. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. My most respected ulama, respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, all praise, all gratitude and thanks is to Allah Rabbul Alameen, who has blessed us with a most beautiful and auspicious and great month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And we all acknowledge how swiftly the time has elapsed and how the month of Ramadan came and the month of Ramadan went. And the ulama ikram write that this is the similitude of life of a person also, that as much as we fast in Ramadan, we call it the Soum of Ramadan, this life of ours is regarded to be the Soum of Hayat, that it is the fast of life. And how a person begins life as an infant, how a person starts the fast with Sehri, and thereafter a person goes through the different phases of the day with the fast. In the same way, our life is one long fast, and it culminates and it terminates upon the Eid of death and demise. And just like how a person who spends his Ramadan in a productive manner, in a fulfilling manner, he looks forward to the time of iftar, because that is a time of true joy. It is a time that a person celebrates the fulfillment of the order and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one is the happiness of breaking the fast, because it will end the person's thirst and hunger. But the greater joy that a person gets from a fast is the fact that he was obedient to Allah and fulfilled the command of Allah tabarakahu wa ta'ala. And in essence, this is the definition of joy and happiness. This is the definition of true contentment and fulfillment. When a person fulfills the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no greater joy that a person can experience. So alhamdulillah, we were able to experience this month with its fast, with the siyam, with the qiyam. And we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity. And the rite of Ramadan, the haqq of Ramadan, is that we now continue with the spirit and with the realization and with whatever was achieved in the month of Ramadan. It will be, in a manner of speaking, a betrayal of the month of Ramadan if we have to limit the good that we had achieved to the month of Ramadan and thereafter conduct ourselves in a manner that is unbecoming of a person, of a Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this protection. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala allow us to continue with the same fervor, with the similar zeal, and the similar commitment that we had shown in the month of Ramadan. Because indeed we find in Ramadan, we were truly alive. Life had come into all of us. And that was demonstrated in how people responded, how people came out to the masjid, how people spent long hours of the night in different forms of ibadah, how the generosity within a person was stimulated. People were feeding, people were greeting, people were showing kindness, people were avoided those types of things that we are normally accustomed to out of the month of Ramadan. The relationships, how people interact and conduct themselves, all of those things were set aside in the month of Ramadan, and everyone brought in the goodness and the khair of Ramadan into their lives. And this is something that we should look at giving continuity to. In the month of Ramadan, we made many du'as. And one du'a that we made was du'a for Jannah and protection from the fire of Jahannam. And this du'a now must continue. Just as it was in the month of Ramadan, we made the du'a and we conducted ourselves in conformity with that du'a. A person asked for Jannah, but he tried his level best to conduct himself like a person who possesses the qualities of Jannah. And what are the qualities of Jannah? The qualities of Jannah are the qualities of goodness and peace and good character and good conduct and good words. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْتِيمًا. In the gardens of Jannah, a person will not hear anything that is futility, that is argumentative, that is provocative, and nor will a person say anything that is sinful, that is vulgar, that is obscene. This is the quality of a person of Jannah. And in the month of Ramadan, we saw that instilled in us, that when we spoke, we tried to speak that which was good, and we avoided speaking that which was wrong. And in a similar manner, if we have to look at the Quran al-Kareem, we find the Quran al-Kareem outlines the different qualities and attributes of a person of Jannah. And these were the attributes of Muslims in the month of Ramadan. That care, that generosity, that lovingness, and that open-heartedness, and that ability to be able to relate with each other in a good way, in a kind way, with love and muhabbat for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all the qualities and the attributes of a person of Jannah. And as it is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ, that in the month in Jannah, a person will not be allowed to enter Jannah if he has the traits of rancor, of vengeance, of hatred for others, of pride, jealousy, and all of these other traits that lurk within the heart of a person. All of these will have to be expunged. It will have to be burnt out. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person will then qualify to enter into the pure garden of Jannah. So like in the month of Ramadan, we conducted ourselves with such diligence, and we were so cautious. We were alive. We were aware. We were cautious. We were conscious. This has come now to give us that new meaning to life, that new purpose in life. And therefore, it now is our responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that opportunity, that platform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that atmosphere for us, like no other part of the year, like no other part of our life. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hope that the servant of mine has learned these important lessons of life. How to be happy, how to make others happy, how to conduct oneself as a true human being. These are the takeaways of Ramadan. That in Ramadan we tasted what it was to be a good person, not to be at loggerheads with each other, to be have the qualities of perseverance, resilience, endurance, patience, tolerance. This is what Ramadan taught us. This is what the fast taught us. A heightened level of tolerance and endurance. And the fast and the month of Ramadan also sent us a message that no person has an excuse to say that I cannot be a good person, that I cannot be obedient to Allah. The fact that we fasted in the month of Ramadan, the fact that we adopted patience, endurance, resilience and perseverance in the month of Ramadan, the fact that we were able to stand in Taraweeh for long rakats, and the fact that we did everything else that the month of Ramadan called upon us to do, is a proof upon ourselves that we most definitely can conduct ourselves in the correct manner. Sometimes we have an approach or a mindset that these things are too difficult. I am a weak person, so therefore if I forgo and I miss and I omit, then I will be overlooked. because I don't have the courage, I don't have the strength, I don't have the time, I'm very busy and occupied, I have so much of work to do that I can't program myself properly. And therefore that becomes our excuse and our escape from the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore the takeaway of Ramadan, we emerge from the month of Ramadan with a few important lessons. And the first lesson, and perhaps the most important lesson, if we just take this one point as a takeaway, is that Ramadan al-Mubarak taught us how to live a life of system and have a timetable and to have a program of life. Because a person will only be able to sustain spirituality and sustain his a'mal and his good deeds in his life if he has got a program. And that is why we find the most successful people in life, they have an intensive program, a timetable. And we find even from the examples of the pious predecessors, our elders, that their lives were programmed such that they tried to ensure that they did not misuse any moment or that they did not let any opportunity go to waste. And this is what Ramadan al-Mubarak brought to us so evidently, so clearly, that there was a disruption of the order of our life. We were accustomed to sleeping when we want to sleep, to eat when we want to eat, to get up when we want to get up, and go where we want to go when we want to go. That is how we normally conduct our lives. But Ramadan al-Mubarak brought an entire disruption. You will now wake up when Allah wants you to wake up. You will sleep when there is time to sleep, when it is time to sleep. And you will do everything according to the program of Ramadan. And all of us fell into place with this program to teach us the lesson that a life of a believer is a life that is organized, it is systematic, it is programmed, it is according to a timetable. There is a nice couplet in Urdu, Nazam paida kijiye auqat mein. Nazam paida kijiye auqat mein. Phir dekhiye barakat din raat mein. Create a timetable in your life. Have a program of what you are doing from the morning to the evening. And then you will see the barakah and the blessings in your time and how much you achieve. A person has potential to achieve a lot if life is conducted according to a timetable and according to using his time efficiently. The second lesson that we can consider from the month of Ramadan is the fact that we did things in a steadfast manner, in a sustained manner. So in Ramadan, there was no time for us to consider any form of lethargy, procrastination, and all those type of things that hold us back. When the time was up to do something, we did it and we had to do it. It wasn't a one day of fasting and one day of rest, one day of fasting and one day of rest, or one day Taraweeh, and 3 days after that we'll think of going for Taraweeh. Ramadan taught us the power of istiqamah, of steadfastness. Day in, day out. Night in, night out. And all of us have the ability. Allah has kept the potential in each and every person to do that. And this lesson of istiqamah and steadfastness is the gur. It is the secret of success. Anything done in a steadfast manner, anything done in a sustained manner, will realize its objective and its outcome. And the same holds true as far as the obedience of Allah is concerned and our spiritual progress is concerned. That if we do it in a sustained manner, and of course we don't do things out of Ramadan in the same intensity as Ramadan, although that would be an ideal. There are some of the pious ulama ikram in that they ibadat in Ramadan is mirrors what they do out of Ramadan. What they do out of Ramadan is very close to what they do in Ramadan, because their lives are programmed so steadily. But of course for us, we will say, let us not try for the same intensity because we will not be able to fulfill that. But let us look at the lesson and let us look at the takeaway, and that is the aspect of steadfastness. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us istiqamat. Allah give us steadfastness. And again, like we make dua in Ramadan for something and we implement it, in the same way we ask Allah Ta'ala for steadfastness and istiqamah and we try to achieve it. The third lesson, very briefly, from the month of Ramadan, is the lesson of hope. A lesson of hope. And that is that no person is excluded. No one is too little and no one is too big. And no one is too weak and no one is too strong. In the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everyone the full opportunity. Whether a person felt that he had gone too far down the line in disobeying Allah, or whether a person felt whichever other way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called everyone to his mercy and his clemency on the night of Qadr. And the ahadith which we are listening to in the month of Ramadan, of forgiveness, of emancipation from the fire of Jahannam, this was applicable for everyone. So therefore, in life, we must maintain this. And it is a theme of the Quran al-Kareem. Hope is one of the most remarkable themes of the Quran al-Kareem. Allah in various ayat advises us and encourages us that a believer is not someone who becomes despondent in any case. He does not become despondent. Yes, a believer has regret. We express our regret and our remorse about our past life and what we have done. But we do not lose hope. And there are various ayat which we are not going to go into the details of. So this is as an individual person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these beautiful opportunities, lessons and takeaways from the month of Ramadan. Now when a person himself has developed capacity, competence, a person has got the spiritual strength, he's learned the beautiful lessons of humanity, of humanness, he knows how to conduct himself, he has imbibed all of these attributes of patience, endurance, perseverance, resilience, good-heartedness, generosity, care, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now has a responsibility for a person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the Hadith Sharif that irhamu man fil ard yarhamukum man fis sama. A person who has developed the qualities of mercy, of care, of love, of generosity, now spread that love. Now spend from that mercy. Now extend that generosity. And who you extend it to? Irhamu man fil ard. Everyone is on the earth. Ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Be kind and do good to others like how Allah has been good to you. So therefore we have a responsibility. We are not living for ourselves. And a believer is not a miser. A believer is not self-centered. A believer is not someone who is selfish. Rather, a believer takes care of himself. Of course, we have to take care of ourselves first to be able to take care of others. So a believer uses the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. He enjoys the comforts that Allah has given him. But his responsibility does not stop there. And importantly, my dear friends, in our country and in parts of the world where we live in the manner that we live, as minorities, as Muslims who have been given freedoms and opportunities, then the true gratitude of those ni'mats and bounties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be able to extend these ni'mats and show this mercy and this goodness to people who are around us. And this is a great responsibility. The responsibility of da'wah, the responsibility of propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who do not have it, is our responsibility. And Ramadan al-Mubarak came and taught us all the qualities and the attributes that will be able to help us to be effective in da'wah, to be effective in our community and in our society. We all have as human beings, and Allah has created this as a system of the world, that none of us enjoy ideal peace and happiness. This world is not a place of ideal happiness. Ideal happiness is only in Jannah. We are all fearful of what could happen. There is instability. There is a lot of volatility. There are concerns. And rightfully so, because that is what we read and that is what we see the environment and the atmosphere is. But notwithstanding whatever the conditions are, as mu'mineen and as believers, we have the Quran, Al-Kareem, and we have Deenul Islam. And we have all of these lessons and these attributes and these beautiful opportunities. And therefore, we should fulfill this responsibility. We see today in the world, and we see it in our country also, that people are curious, people are impressed. People see Muslims. What is your fasting about? There are people who want to emulate the Muslims by fasting. People who are in corporate workplaces and that, you will know that there are people who want to experience what you experience. That how is it that you are fasting, you are starving, but you are so energetic. You are so happy. You are so full of life. What type of starving is this? And that gives us that opportunity. And if fasting is one example, then if a person begins to conduct himself as a true Muslim, with true akhlaq, with true character, with kindness, and he's tolerant and patient upon his challenges, then that speaks volumes about not the person, but it speaks volumes about Islam. That this person is an adherent of a faith, and that faith is being portrayed as a faith of antagonism, of fundamentalism, as a faith of everything else. But here we have an adherent who is showing the exact opposite of what we are being told or what the propaganda tells us. So this is where our da'wah falls in. So Ramadan has brought all of this to us so that we give it continuity and we develop ourselves and we continue upon this trajectory so that we build ourselves as a dynamic society and a community. People must see us as a community that are well-wishers of this country. That we are the well-wishers of our neighborhood. We are not here just to earn. We are not money-making machines. Just here to earn and take and use and enjoy. But we are here to do what we have to do and at the same time be able to be well-wishers of those who live side by side with us. Now this is the second important message, and I have a minute or two with the third message. And that is what we have been speaking about in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and the ummah khair. We all know what has happened in Gaza over the last few months in Palestine. And that we all sit with heavy hearts, even as we sat on the iftar table to break our fast. Whilst we are enjoying what we are enjoying on the table, at the back of our mind and the bottom of our heart, we were aching. Our hearts were throbbing. We were remembering the difficulties and the hardships of the people of Gaza. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make ease and khair, my dear friends. But it comes back again to the same philosophy, that what we have learnt in the month of Ramadan, we carry that over and we carry it through, and we become responsible adherents of this ummah. That we have a contribution to make. Just sitting and knowing what is happening and feeling sorry about it, that is one aspect of iman, that is one element, that is a sign of iman, that a person has got iman, that he is aware of what is happening and he is feeling sorry for what is happening. And he feels pain in his heart. But that is not our full responsibility. Our responsibility goes beyond that. And we may ask, what can we do? What do we do? We are all helpless. Indeed we are. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our limited capacity, has given us opportunity. Together with the atrocities and the war that is taking place on the ground, there is a war that is taking place in the minds of people. And this is the psychological warfare. And this is the thing that has turned this entire war and the situation of the world on its head. because people from all around the world have been able to capsize the algorithm. The algorithm is what feeds into the media, what people see. So instead of people seeing what they want to see, which is trending, people begin to see what they do not want to see, because you and I and others in the world have been able to create this awareness and the prevalence of this awareness of this media in the global space. And that is why people who never heard the word Palestine perhaps in other parts of the world, or people who had no real association or connection with what is happening, they were living their lives comfortably. They suddenly realized that there's a genocide taking place in the world. And how can we be asleep when a genocide is taking place? So my dear friends, we have a responsibility. Let us activate ourselves. Let us become responsible. Let us become aware. Let us become people who fulfill the amana of Islam and Deen. And that amana starts with us firstly, that we adopt the proper teachings of Deenul Islam as we have learnt in the month of Ramadan. We better ourselves. We become active contributing members of our own community. We take care of our own backyard first, what is happening in our own country. And we make a lot of dua and we rectify ourselves and we remedy ourselves for that purpose. And then of course then there is a global, and it's all interrelated. It's all interconnected. Something happening in the far part of the world doesn't affect us. That doesn't stand anymore. We are now living in a time when everything affects everyone. And none of us are excluded. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear friends, make this Ramadan a real changer for everyone. Bring about a complete change in the way that we live, in the way that we look at the world, in the way that we conduct ourselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring peace and safety in our country. Allah ta'ala protect our homes, our businesses, our masajid, our institutions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant complete protection and save us from any harm and loss. And together with that, we make dua for our brethren in Gaza, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the victory close. May Allah give swift victory. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of khair and safety for one and all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.